Today we're going to start from Kuf Mem Aleph at the two dots, five lines from the top. Ein Sham Efrach. So the Mishnah had said, number one, if there's only one Efrach or one Beitza, right, then you're Chayav L'Shalach because it says Kan, which they understand to mean Kem Mikol Makom, any type of nest. Then it said, if there were Efrachim Mafrichim, okay, I'm just going back to the Mishnah for a quick minute, because this will provide the background for this last section we're going to deal with before we get to the next Mishnah. If there were chicks that were already flying on their own, or unfertilized eggs, then you're patur, because it says, Ha'im Ravetzel Al Efrachim, Ola Beitzim, and they said, oh, Efrachim must be like Beitzim. Ma Efrachim, we're going to learn from each of them, right? We can learn from Efrachim that they're actually going to become Efrachim, so therefore Beitzim have to be B'nai Kayama and not unfertilized. And we learn from Beitzim that the Beitzim need their mother, therefore it must be a situation where the Efrachim also need their mother and not if they can already fly on their own. So now the Gemara is going to suggest, why don't we flip the drashot? Because what did we say? We say kan sipor meant any which way. Now any which way they said means even if there's only one or right, one Efrach. Now notice the Pasuk said one Efrach or one Beitzah. But the Pasuk also said Efrachim o Beitzim. Now you might imply that would imply plural, and maybe kan could be used to explain mikol makom, whether they're unfertilized or whether they're already flying. So that's why they're going to try to flip the drashot and say like this. Amar lei ahumei rabbanan le-Rava. So the following rabbi said to Rava, Ema ipcha, why don't you say the exact opposite? Ein sham efroach elechad o beitzachat patur milishalech. Dibi'inan efrochim o beitzim. From the efrochim o beitzim, we should say that. Vilekan, there aren't. And then, what are we left with? Well, then we have this drashav kan, which seems to include any type of nest. So why don't we say that that's coming to include hayusham efrochim afrochim o beitzim uzarot chayav lishalech shenemar kan. Kein mikomakom. So therefore, they say, oh no, because in came nichtuv kra, va'em rovetet alehem. If you wanted to say that, you would have said alehem, my va'em rovetet al efrochim o al habesim. If you wanted to say that you needed not just one beitzah or one efroch, then it just would have written in plural on them. And it wouldn't need to specify efrochim or beitzim. So therefore, since it says efrochim or beitzim, they learn it must be la kushe efrochim le beitzim to make this hekesh, which would then mean, right, not the unfertilized and not if they're already on their own. And then, right, efrochim le beitzim or beitzim le efrochim. And it doesn't continue, but the obvious is then, if you already have that drasha from efrochim or beitzim, that we make this hekesh, well, then you're left with the word kan, which means ken mikol makom, right, any type of nest, and therefore that's going to include, right, not the case of the muzarot, right, not the case of the unfertilized, and the efrochim that can fly, because we already learned that is not included, that those are not included, therefore that must be to include the other case, which is even one egg or one efroch. Okay, new Mishnah. Shalcha v'chazra afilu arba'a v'chamisha pa'amim chayav sh'ne'emar shalach t'shalach et'em. Because it uses this double lashon of shalach t'shalach, which we'll see maybe that's not why, but right now they think it's because of the double lashon, it means if you send off the mother bird and you don't yet take the chicks, and then the mother bird comes back, you keep the mitzvah of shalach t'shalach keeps recurring. In other words, you can't say, oh, I already sent the mother bird off, so now I can take the eggs whenever I want, because even though she happens to be here right now, I sent her off already. No. Even four or five times, by the way, I'm sure this is the benefit of Daf Yomi, you go through these all the time. This is a common theme, this four or five. We have a lot of times where the Mishnah says, right, three is always a very common number, but four or five appears, maybe it's even like more than three. It's trying to say even more than our number three, about four or five times just happens to be a phrase they use a lot. It obviously doesn't mean specifically four, specifically five. It just means, right, as many times as it happens, right, you're chayav. Okay. Amar, hareini notel et ha'em umashalech et ha'banim. If you say, I'm going to take the mother and then send off the banim. I'm sorry. This is the reverse. I'm going to take the mother and send the banim off. Okay, so if that's your plan, you want to take the mother in order to send off the banim. chayav. You're still chayav. Shene'emar shalach t'shalach ha'te'em. Now, what does this mean exactly? So why are you chayav and what's the issue? So if you remember, when we started this parak, what did I say? There's two approaches to the mitzvah of shiloh haken. Is it that you're supposed to, you're not, the issue is, you're not supposed to take the mother bird while it's on its eggs, right? You're not supposed to take the eggs while the mother's on it. Okay, and then the issue is, don't take the eggs, right? You have to send off the mother. And here it's the reverse, right? You're not taking the eggs in this case, you're taking the mother, right? And you're sending off the offspring. You want to do the reverse, basically. Okay, so now the question is the isur of shiloh haken to, if you remember, we talked about the other option was ha'em al habanim meant ha'em im habanim, that you can't take them all at the same time. So if you say that the isur is you can't take them all at the same time, and we talked about it, like maybe it's like otovet, but knowing there was a similar theme here, that you're basically, you're wiping out an entire family, right? You can't take them all, whole family at once, then this would be a chidush, right? What if you're just taking the mother and you're sending off the banim? Then you're not actually wiping out the entire family. This is how the Rambam views it. Then this would be chayav, not because of the main mitzvah of ha'em al habanim, because this isn't ha'em al habanim. This isn't the isur of lo tikach ha'em al habanim, ki ha'em al habanim, according to that interpretation, means with the sons. And here you're not actually taking the sons, you're just taking the mother. So according to the Rambam, you'd be chayav anyway. In other words, even though this isn't the main isur, you're still going to be chayav. According to Rashi and others who think that it's em al habanim, which means you can't take the eggs while the mother's around. So this would just be the same kind of idea, right? It's just the reverse. You're taking the mother and you're sending off the offspring. Okay, and then it would be the basic. Right, it would be part of the isur shenemar shalach to shalach da'em, and the chiyuv is you have to send off the mother. You can't take the mother and send off the children. Okay, the mother has to be sent off, and that's part of. So it's a bit of a debate here. Is this part of the basic chiyuv that you have to send off the mother bird if you plan to take the eggs, and you can't kind of take the mother and send the eggs, or is it additional? In addition, well, the main thing is that you can't take both at the same time. Here we're saying even if you want to just take one, it's still usher, okay? But it's not the main chiyuv according to the Rambam.
It seems like it's hard to even understand how they can ask it, because the Torah says you have to send away the mother. Like it doesn't, and also this seems trickery. We don't do this with other mitzvot. We don't like think maybe we can not do part
of it. Right. So again, it sort of depends on how you view the whole mitzvah to begin with. Because if you view it like the Rambam, that's a little simpler. Because this is saying, the chidush is, even though the real mitzvah is don't take them all, here if you just take one, you know, and you send off the other, it's still going to be asur. The Rambam makes a little more sense according to this Mishnah.
But and the idea is not to look for reasons behind mitzvot.
It's not reasons. It's what are the details of the mitzvot. If the mitzvot means ha'em im habanim, it doesn't matter if you look for the reason. The question is, what does it mean al habanim? Does it mean im habanim? Or does it mean the way we assumed it meant, like, don't take the eggs while the mother's there. This is also the reverse, because this is taking the mother and not the eggs. So it's like a bit, right. And they're saying maybe you could do the reverse, send off the children, right, and take the mother. So it's a little confusing what exactly this case in the Mishnah is and why they're saying this.
Really, if you take the mother, you've then basically killed the eggs and the
right.
And the baby, so.
Right, they also won't make it, right. Okay, natal et habanim v'chziran la. What if you took the banim and then you put them back? Okay, I think it's v'chziran, right, laken, it should, laken. Okay, what did you do? You took the banim, okay, let's say the mother wasn't there, and then you took the banim, and then you put them back in the nest after that. V'achar kach hazra ha'em, and then the mother comes back. Okay, so now, right? Chazra em alehem, patur mi l'shalech. At this point, you're patur. Why are you patur? Because you already were zoche. No, because you already were zoche in the eggs. The eggs became yours. Now it's no longer eino mizuman. Remember, we said that once they're yours and they belong to you, this is ki kare, if you would happen upon, not something that actually belongs to you. Amar le hahumi rabbanan l'rava. Just like we had in the very beginning of Shir, a certain rabbi asked Rava. Ve'ema, now you said four or five times from shalach to shalach. Now, if you want to say we're learning it from shalach to shalach, what would you say? Shalach chadazimna, tishlach trezimnin. You would say shalach is one, tishalach is two, and that would teach you, you have to do it twice. But it wouldn't teach you, you have to do it more than twice. The mother came back two times already. You know, you sent off the mother, and you still didn't take the eggs, and now you want to take the eggs, right? And the mother came back twice. After sending her off two times, you're putter. So therefore, he darshans it differently. Amarle, shalach, afilu me'apamim. Just the word shalach means you have to send it off even 100 times. Okay? Tishalach. Now, what do we learn from then the second part of that verse, the second part of that phrase? Tishalach comes to teach you, ainli ela lidvar harashut. Lidvar mitzvah minayin, talmud lamar, tishalach mikol makom. Okay? Or tishalach, I think it is. Sure. Right? Tishalach, tishalach. So what are they saying? Tishalach teaches you that even if, let's say, you take the mother bird to send her off, or let's say, forgetting about that, you see the mother with her eggs. Now, the mitzvah is you have to send off the mother bird. You can't take it for yourself. So the first shalach means go send it off. Even if she keeps coming back, you have to keep sending her off. The second one comes to teach you, even if you want that mother bird for a mitzvah, okay, you still can't keep it. You have to send her off. Okay? So now, what is implied by this? That if you didn't have this drasha, what would you assume? Lidvar mitzvah would be okay. So Amarle Rabbi Abba Bered Rav Yosef Bar Rav Kahana. Elatama dekat rachmana tishalach. Halav hachi hava mina lidvar mitzvah lo. You would think, right, that according to this, only because you have a drasha does it teach you, you can't use it for dvar mitzvah. If we didn't have a special drasha from the pasuk, you would think lidvar mitzvah, this would be allowed. Meaning, you could take the mother for dvar mitzvah and then take the sons and do something, you know, and use them for your own purposes. Isn't there an aseva lo tasehu? Isn't this, right, now we talk about numbers, right? We have on the one side an ase and a lo tasehu, shalach tishalach and lo tikach ha'em al habanim. And then on the other side, we have a mitzvah aseh doing some mitzvah, right? What would be the classic mitzvah? Mitzorah. Let's say you need the birds for the mitzorah. So could you take the mother bird and use her for the mitzorah? And then take the sons and use them for whatever you want, right? Now, because remember, it's not just that the mother bird can't be with her, right? It's that you can't take the bird off, which is with the eggs. You have to send her off. So what if you took her to do a mitzvah? So you would think that this is mutar. Isn't there an aseh and a lo taseh versus an aseh? So, ve'ein aseh doche lo taseh ve'aseh, right? You can't have a mitzvah aseh come and override a lo taseh and an aseh. So what do we have to do? We have to find a case where there's only going to be, where they're going to be equal, an aseh and an aseh. How do we do that? Well, let's see. So it's not going to be so simple. Lo tzricha de'avar v'shachla le'em. De'lav avre, asehu de'ika. Leite aseh ve'litche aseh. It's coming to teach you that what if you had a case where you didn't listen to the mitzvah, you took the mother bird. Now, let's say it's in your hands, okay? You already were over lo tikachayim alabani. So there's no more lo taseh because you finished with the lo taseh. You did that already. At this point, you have it in your hands, right? You're supposed to send it off. So you have an aseh hu de'ika, right? You have an aseh in front of you. But you also have another mitzvah that you needed for the tzipurei mitzvah at this point. So now the question is, right? So you would think that maybe leite aseh v'litche aseh, that maybe you'd be able to use it for the tzipurei mitzvah because the lav is already done deal. It's not even here anymore. Kamash malan, that you can't, okay? Now, this all depends, whether we say that this is true, that there's no more lo tase, sort of depends on your view of, this is a case of a lav hanitak lase. It says, don't do it, and if you do it, shalach to shalach. So, hanicha laman damar, what you said right now would work if you say, kimo, the lo kimo. What does that mean? That means that you, do you get malkot? Let's say you did this lo tase, okay? Do you get malkot? Maybe you don't get malko right away. Why? Because you can still fix it. You can still send off the mother. So therefore, if you say chemo velo chemo, that you get malko, let's say you take that bird, you have it in your hand, and you didn't immediately send her off. Okay? So if we say that you would get malko at that point, Okay, if you didn't take care of the aseh immediately, you would get malkot. Then it would make sense what we just said, because then really all you're left with is an aseh. Ela laman detane bitlo velo bitlo. But the other people say no. You only get malkot if there's no chance anymore that you can do the shalach to shalach. Okay? Like, let's say, what would be a case here? Let's say you shechted the bird. Okay? The bird's no longer in existence. At that point, you can't do shalach to shalach, then you get malkot. Okay? But at this point, you can still fix it. So at this point, the lo taseh isn't finished. We said a minute ago, the lo taseh is done. If you haven't yet gotten malkot, then in essence, you're still within the lo taseh because you haven't fulfilled the lo taseh yet. Kol od, it's not an option for you to do it. It's called, right, as long as it's still an option for you to do it, you basically are still within the lo taseh. So according to that, it wouldn't work. And furthermore, v'tu, l'Rabbi Yehuda da'amar shalach me'ikara mashma, and now we're going to give, okay, that's saying basically we're still left with the lav and the aseh. Now we're going to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who has the shita we're going to see in the next Mishnah, in a few lines, which is, the mitzvah of shalach to shalach, it's not a lav and itak, it's not like the shalach to shalach fixes lo tikachayim alabanim. It's that when you come across this situation, you have a mitzvah shalach to shalach. Okay? It comes from the beginning. It's not don't do it, and if you did it, shalach to shalach. Shalach to shalach is telling you what to do in the first place. Okay? It's not that it means me'ikara. Not that it's fixing. Once you took it, you can't shalach to shalach anymore. It won't help you. Okay? Because we assumed it's like the classic, right? If you find an aveda, right? So if you pick it up, you're not supposed to take it. But if you did, you can return it, right? Or you steal something, you're supposed to return what you stole. That fixes the problem. In this case, shalach to shalach is not fixing the problem. Once you took it and you were over on the lav, there's no way to fix it. Which means at that point, you actually don't even have to send off the mother bird. You're already over the lav. You messed it up already. There's nothing you could do to fix it. Okay? So according to him, if there's nothing you can do to fix it, then once you've taken this bird into your hands, what's going to happen now? Now?
You get malkot.
You get malkot. You're finished. It's done, which means what do you have in front of you right now? Well, now you have just an aseh. Of course you could do the aseh. Not only could you do the aseh, but you could even do it if it's barashut, even if it's for anything, because at this point there's no way to fix what you did, so yeah, you may as well use the bird, okay? So according to this, it's also no chidush about this dvar mitzvah, okay? But from the reverse perspective, not because we have heavy things weighing against it, it's because we have nothing weighing against it, of course it's mutar. So betula Rabbi Yehuda damar shalech meikar mashma afilu aseh nami leika, right? In other words, it's just an aseh, that's it, right? You don't even have an aseh on the other side. You don't have an aseh, you don't have a lotaseh, you have nothing. So Ella, so now we're stuck with, right, what's the chidush here about the mitzvah, that you can do it even lidvar mitzvah, right, that you would have thought you couldn't? Ella amar marbar of Ashi, kigon shenatla al menat l'shalach. What if you take it, now, what does it mean? This is actually a little tricky. Lo tikachayim al abanim, shalach t'shalach. So in order to shalach t'shalach, you actually have to take it. So you kind of pick it up in order to send it off. Okay, but before you send it off, all of a sudden, as you're about to send it off, a mitzvah comes before you. Now, you might think, well, at this point, now you didn't do anything wrong, right? There's no lav. Now at this point, de lav leika, asehu de'ika, right? At this point, there's no more lav because you did what you were supposed to do. You actually took it to send it off. But now, you're still commanded shalach to shalach. And on the other hand, though, you have a mitzvah. Now we'd say maybe maybe we would say then the mitzvah aseh is docha the mitzvah aseh that's in front of you. So now they say, okay, fine. You're going to assume then, okay, aseh versus aseh. Now, your whole assumption, again, this is all you have to remember. This is all the assumption is to you might have thought a dvar mitzvah would override. Therefore, we need the word tishalach to teach you it doesn't override. So now, why would you have thought a regular mitzvah would override this? My ulme dehayase mehayase. Why would you think that one mitzvah aseh of, and now again, now you have to assume, the mitzvah aseh is clearly the one I said, because what other mitzvah aseh is there with a bird, which would be the tzipurei mitzorah. So now, why would the mitzvah of tzipurei mitzorah override shiluach haken? Sa kadat hachamina ho'il va'amar mar, gadol shalom shebein ish lishto. שהרי אמרה תורה, שמו של הקדוש ברוך הוא נכתב בקדושה, ימחה על המים. Okay, right? The most important thing is shalom between each fish. So how do we know this? Now we go back to Sota. What happens in the Sota? We erase the name of God in the Sota waters, right? We write the name Shema Farash of Hashem, and then we erase it in the waters. So since that's the case, and what does this have to do with Mitzora? Well, Hai Mitzora, Kevan de Kama de Lo Mataher, Asur B'Tashmish Hamita. As long as he doesn't become purified, he's forbidden to sleep with his wife. Dichti, Vayashev Michutz Lo Halo Shivat Yamim. And what do they learn? Michutz Lo Halo, Halo Zo Ishto. We've seen that many times. Right, Shavu lo alehem after Matan Torah, right? So they went back to their wives. From there, they learned they were separated from their wives beforehand. Mikan sha'asur b'tashmish hamita. So what might you think? Ma'u detema kevan da'asur b'tashmish hamita. And because shalom ben ish l'ishto is so important, maybe you would think, leite ase didei v'litche ase d'shiluach haken. Kamash malan, that this is not the case. Okay, and from here we learn that this is not, in fact, the case. I want to remember, I saw a note, let me just see if I can remember it, that in, even though we don't hold that this is the case here, this is a principle that in Rav Moshe Feinstein's Tshuvot, in the Igrot Moshe, he uses this principle to learn, now I'm blanking on what I saw, that he learns from there, but to learn certain halachot, because shalom ben ish l'ishto is this, even though we reject it for this purpose, you can actually use it halacha l'masa in other situations. Sorry that I'm blanking and I can't remember what it was. Okay. New Mishnah. Hanotel em al habanim. So now we get to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Let's say you took the mother. Rabbi Yehuda omer loked, you get malkot, okay, because you did the lo taseh, ve'eino mashalech, but you no longer need to send off the bird, because like we said, the whole mitzvah of sending off the bird is so that you don't come to take the bird. But if you already took the mother, there's nothing you could do. The chachamim omrim, mishalech ve'eino loked. No, you actually send it off. Once you've taken the bird, you send it off and you don't actually get malkot then if you send it off. Because, zeh haklal, kol mitzvah lo taseh sheyesh bakum aseh, any mitzvah lo taseh that has an ase that can fix it, ein lokin aleha. You don't get malkot for it. Okay, now, a few things before we move on. First of all, this is what we call, the Gemara calls lav hanitak laseh. You see, the Mishnah didn't use that lashon, but it was probably a term that the Emoraim coined. I didn't check if it's ever used in the Mishnah, but I'm guessing not. The Emoraim basically took this and said, this is called a lav hanitak laseh, right? The lav that's right next to an ase that can fix it. And even though I said before there's two approaches, bitlo or kaimo, that's the question here. Is within chachamim, who say, alavani takla say, you don't get malkot for, the question is, at what point do you get malkot? In other words, do you get malkot? It says, mishalech beino loke. However, if you would, in other words, the question is, does this mean, if you're mishalech, then you don't get malkot, but if you don't send it off immediately, then you will get malkot? Or does it mean, you send it off and you don't get malkot, and you could still send it off, you don't get malkot, but if comes a point where, let's say the bird's dead and you can no longer send it off, then you would get malkot. Okay?
It's interesting that intent doesn't play a part in this. We have other mitzvah, situations like this where intent is so important.
Well, they did start with intent before, where they said, let's say the case was where you took it al minat in order to send it off.
Yeah.
So then they do say, if you took it in order to send it off, and then something happened and you didn't send it off, so that would be relevant. You wouldn't be over on the lo taseh. Mm-hmm. You'd still have to do the aseh of shalach to shalach, but you wouldn't be over on the lo taseh. Mm-hmm. So the intent is important. They're just assuming in all these cases there was intent not to send it off. By Rabbi Abba Bar Mama. Now we want to understand better Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Tama de Rabbi Yehuda, we're now going to give two options. Is it Mishum de Savar, Lav Shenitak Laaseh Lokin Alav? Is it because he disagrees with Chachamim about the principle? Well, you see here, the Gemara immediately calls it Lav Shenitak Laaseh, as if we know that that's what they mean. That a Lav Shenitak Laaseh, you do get Malkot, and that's why he says, Loke Ve'eno Mishaleach, because you get Malkot anyway, because it's a Lav Shenitak, even though it's a Lav Shenitak Laaseh. O Dilma, or is it more the way we explained it, which is Ba'alma Sevar Lav Shenitak Laaseh Ein Lokin Alav, and generally holds a Lav Shenitak Laaseh you don't get Malkot for. V'hachayinu Tama, I'll just say it very simply before we even read it, this isn't a Lav Shenitak Laaseh, okay? What's the reason? Not because it's a Lav Shenitak Laaseh, it's because Mishum Tekasavar Shaleach Me'ikara Mashma. Okay, is it because he thinks it's not that shalach to shalach fixes the lo tikach? Shalach to shalach is when you come upon the situation, you have to send it off. Okay, and then it says also lo tikach ha'em al abanim, and that you can't take it for yourself. But that's not, once you take it, you can't fix it. Okay, it's not viewed as a lavani taklase at all. So let's see, Tashma, what's the best way to figure this out? Let's see what he says about a lavani taklase in other situations. Does he actually say you get malkot for them? So, ganav v'gazlan, as I said before, gzela is one of those cases. You steal something, and then it says, v'heshiv et hagzela asher gazal, you can actually fix it. So, yeshnam bichlal malkot divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Here you have it. A gazlan gets malkot, even though it's a lavani taklase. So that would seem to imply against what we thought, that he doesn't even view this as a lavani taklase, but in fact, lavani taklase, you get malkot, right? V'ha-ha-ha, dilav shani taklaseyu. How do we know this? Derachman Amar, the Torah says lo tigzol, and the Torah also says beishiva tagzela. Shma mina, one can infer from here. Tama de Rabbi Yehuda mishum disakasavar lav shani taklase lo kina lav. So that sounds like a pretty good proof, and against what we said. The Gemara's going to say, ah, don't worry about this. Amar de Rabbi Zera. It's a very interesting line. Lav abina lechu kol matnitin de lo tanya ki be Rabbi Chia u be Rabbi Yoshaya mishabashtehi velo totfu mine be midrasha. Didn't I tell you already? You can't just quote to me random braitot, okay? Which is so fascinating because it's what we do all over the Gemara. We quote random braitot. It says, didn't I tell you any braita that wasn't taught in the school of Rabbi Yechia or the school of Rabbi Yoshaya is a mistaken braita and you can't start asking questions from it in the Beit Midrash. In other words, the version of the braita that you have is clearly incorrect. So don't learn from there. Dilma, now you can see, right? What does it say? Your lav shenitakla say lokina lav. So he said tashma ganav gazlan yeshnam bichlam malkot divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He says maybe it's a mistaken braita and the wording should be ena bichlam malkot arba'im. And the word ena got lost, okay? Which would mean the exact opposite. So he says I don't buy into your girsa. And in fact, right, now they're going to bring the next source, Tashma. Okay, so let's learn from here. Sorry, I read it wrong. Dilma ena b'chal malkot arba'im Tanya. Okay, Tanya goes on, right. It was taught in that braita. Maybe it was taught wrong. Tashma, let's look at this source. Ditani Rabbi Yoshaya v'Rabbi Chiya. Oh, here we have the version, their version. Lo tashuv vishav. Lo techa. Okay, now this isn't the same topic. This is pe'ah and leket. What does it say? If you, right, you leket kitzircha lo telaket, right? Lo tashuv lekachta, okay? Ki tiktzor kitzircha basadeh, v'shachachta omer basadeh. Sorry, this is shichecha. And you forgot something behind, you left it behind, right? You forgot it. Lo tashuv lekachto. You can't go back to get it. Now, what is the next words? Leger layatom ula amana yihyeh. That's again, right? Don't take it. Why? Because it goes to the ger. That's a lavani taklase. And lo techale pe'at sadcha. Okay, and then it says, it doesn't say it here, but it must say in the next pasuk, right? It's lager v'lanita zovoto or something like that. Okay, so again, both those have a lo tase and then an ase. So let's go back now. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yoshaya, Rabbi Chiya. Lo tashuv, it says don't go back. Vishav, and he did go back. Lo techale, don't not leave over the pe'ah, the corner of your field. Vikile, and he did, okay? He cut it. He took it for himself. Yeshnam bichlam malkot arba'im divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what do you see here? Right? You do get malkot for it. Shma mina, tami de Rabbi Yehuda, mishum de kasavar, lav shenitak la'ase lokin alav. So what do you see here? Here we have Rabbi Yoshaya and Rabbi Chiya's braita. And what does it say? According to Rabbi Yehuda, even though these both have a mitzvah ase, it's classic, right? You would say, okay, don't take it. Let's say you went back and you took your forgotten shoes. Well, you can always fix it. You can always then give it to a poor person after. Unless, of course, you eat it, right? But at that point, you can still fix it. And yet, he says you get malkot. So now they say, oh no. Dilma hatam haynutam dekasavar ta'azov me'ikara mashma. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda's approach to those psukim is the same as his approach here. Teshalach, teshalach. La'ani v'lager ta'azov otam is from the beginning. Once you take it, there's no use in fulfilling the mitzvah anymore. This, by the way, a fascinating thinking, his whole concept about mitzvot, both in, I'd say it's more obvious in this case, because we can relate better to poor people than we can relate to birds and their sympathy for their young and all that. But what is this? You're not allowed to take the shechecha, right? Once you take it, you no longer have to give it to a poor person. It's done. It's like you've missed your opportunity. It's almost like saying you're supposed to do something. If you don't do it in the right time, well, you've lost your chance. Even though really you could, on a world, on a level that we could understand, you could actually fix it because you could give it to the poor person. The whole idea is it's not the process, it's the end game. We want the ani to have food. So in the end, if you give it to the ani, well, then you've kind of fixed what you did. But Rabbi Yehuda's approach is no. Once you take what was supposed to be to the aniim and you take it for yourself, you basically, like, you can't do the mitzvah anymore. You can't fix it. And maybe his approach is sort of that you make mivat lo yuchal litkon, right? Once you mess something up, you cannot fix it anymore.
Sounds Christian.
Okay. One could say that. So first of all, it's interesting. He's not the mainstream opinion, right? This is a unique approach. And he's basically saying, so the question is, why doesn't he let you fix it? Is he saying, once you did it, it's a done deal? Or maybe he's saying the whole mitzvah is really from the beginning. That a mitzvah, I'll give you a good example. You do something, right? A little kid does something wrong, they say sorry, and then they do it again, and then they say sorry, and they do it again, they say sorry. In other words, you can't do it in the first place. Yes, you can fix things, you can fix them up, but if you are missing the concept from the beginning, and both those cases are, if we assume, it has to do with rachmanut, right? Even if it's not rachmanut on the bird, let's say, right? One says it's rachmanut on the bird, one says, no, it's not rachmanut on the bird, it's to teach us rachmanut. If you don't have that initial rachmanut, that sympathy for others, you can't ever really get it. Like, you can't fix that. You can technically be yotze and put a V on it, you know, and say, okay, I did this, a check. But you can't really fix it. You're missing something. And maybe that's his approach. It's interesting. Okay. Again, that requires a lot more thinking, but we're going to move on because we're doing Daf Yomi. So now, what is it? So basically, we still don't have proof that he holds Lav Shenitak Laseh Lokin Alav because this maybe isn't a classic Lav Shenitak Laseh. But now we're going to take a classic Lav Shenitak Laseh. I'm a Rabin the Laravashi. What's our classic? We always talk about this one. Tashma, lo totiru mimenu aboker. You can't leave over the korban until the morning, the meat. But vanutar mimenu aboker ba'esh chisrofu, right? If you do leave it over, you have to burn it. Ba katuv liten ase achar lo ta'ase, right? They give you the ase right away. Lomar lecha she'en lokin alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The whole reason they give you an ase is to fix it, to teach you that you don't get malkot. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, here we have it. Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds a lav nitak laseh ein lokin alav, which is against what we kept trying to say, right? And in the end, it proves the way we understood Rabbi Yehuda from the beginning, which is that he just doesn't view this as a lav nitak laseh. If it really was a lav nitak laseh, that the aseh comes to fix the lo taseh, then you would get malko. Then you wouldn't get malko. But this isn't that case, and that's why you get malko. Shma mina ta. So we can infer from here, tamad Rabbi Yehuda mishum dekasavar shalech meikara mashma shma mina. Amar le Rav Idi le Rav Ashi. Matnitin nami daika. You can also infer this from the Mishnah itself. Dekatane hanotel ema labanim. Rabbi Yehuda omer loke ve'ein mishalech. Notice what he says. You get malkot and you don't send it off, right? Which seems to imply that the sending off doesn't fix things, right? Isa gadatach tamad Rabbi Yehuda lav shenitak laseh lokin alav. If his whole reason was lav shenitak laseh, what should it say? Loke u'mishalech mibayale. In other words, if it corrects it, and all he was trying to say is, well, you get malkot anyway, then he would say, you get malkot, and you still have to send it, right? Because you still have to fix it, it's just that you're going to get malkot anyway. V'dilma, but they say, no, that doesn't necessarily prove it. The fact that they chose to use the words, loke ve'ein mishalech, instead of loke u'mishalech, dilma hachi kamar b'mishnah. Maybe it means, ein niftar ad malkin le. Maybe it just means lokeve emeshalach, meaning you're going to get malkot, and sending it off alone won't help you. Okay, you also are going to get malkot anyway. So therefore, the lashon of the mishnah doesn't necessarily prove. Okay, ad kama mishalcha. Now we get to, okay, if you really want to, okay, now me what you asked before class about trying to loopholes and avoid things, like here is interesting. How far away do you have to send it off? Okay. I'm a Rav Yehuda. Kadesha teitzei mitachat yado. Has to be without out of hand's reach. Because what are we concerned? Shalech to shalach, and then you might grab it after that. Right? In other words, you really want the bird. So what do you do, right? You shoo the mother bird away, but in essence, as long as she's no longer on her eggs, you could really catch her again.
You really want the eggs.
So it has, you do really want the eggs, but you could also, in other words, it's also telling you you can't take the mother. Let's say you really want the mother also. So in theory, you could take her a minute later. So therefore, they want you to have it out of hand's reach. B'memeshalcha, how do you send it off? There's a bit of a debate about how to understand this. Rav Huna amar b'ragleha, Rav Yehuda amar b'agafeha. Do you do it by its legs or by its wings? Some people say that this means Rashi brings two lashonot. One is it means you grab it by its legs and send it off by its legs, or you send it off by grabbing its wings. Some people say what it means is, it's talking about the status of the bird. Let's say the bird can't fly anymore. So the first opinion says, even if she can walk, and just, you know, as long as she can take a few steps, that's okay. And the other one says, no, she has to be able to fly. Okay, so there's a debate about how this is understood. Rav Huna amar biragleha, where does he get that from? Dichtiv mishalchei regel ashur v'chamor. Strange pasuk, because it's talking about animals and not birds, but what it shows is the lishloach goes together with regel. Rav Yehuda amar ba'gafeha, deha knafeha ninu. That's the knafayim are like its legs, right? If you make the comparison to the shore, the leg is to the shore as the wings are to the bird. That's how it moves. There was a guy who cut off the wings of the bird, vishalcha, and then sent it off. V'acharkach tafsa. Okay, in other words, what did he do? He cut the wings so it wouldn't be able to fly so far.
Clip
the wings, that would be the word. He clipped the wings. Then he went, right, so he sends it off, and then he grabs it again. Nagde Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda gave him malkot. Amar le zil rabi le gadfe vishalcha. You have to now let it grow its wings back to full. Right? In order to fix this mitzvah, what do you have to do? Again, this is assuming you can fix it. You have to grow its wings back and then send it off. Okay, so which matches, by the way, this is Rav Yehuda, and he's the one who said, ba'agafeh, it has to be sent off with its wings, meaning its wings have to be intact. So therefore, you have to let the wings grow back, and then you can send it to fix it. Kimon, so who does this go like? Eker Rabbi Yehuda. Now there's a problem, because what did he do? He gave him malkot and then he said send the bird off. Well, this doesn't match either of who we saw. Eker Rabbi Yehuda lokev emeshalech. You don't even have to send it off. You do get malkot, but you don't have to send it off. Eker Rabbanan meshalech vein loken. According to Rabbanan, we say you send it off, but you don't get malkot. So why get malkot? Lolam ki Rabbanan umakat mardut mi derabbanan. The malkot he gave him were only malkot to Rabbanan. They weren't malkot d'oraita. He wasn't chayav malkot really for what he did, but he wanted to punish him for what he did because he felt like it was really inappropriate. He was trying to, right, he clipped the wings so the bird couldn't fly very far. He was basically naval b'rishit ha-Torah, right? He was trying to get it anyway, and it wasn't appropriate. Okay, now this is going to be the strangest part of today's daf. Hahuda atal kamei de Rava. Guy comes before Rava. Amar le tema mahu. This type of bird called a tema is a chayav in shiluch hakein. Amar lo lo yada hay gavar de of tahor chayav le shiluch hakein. Why are you even asking me this question? Don't you know any of tahor? You have to do shiluch hakein. This is just a regular of tahor. Why would you be asking me? Amar le dil machad be tahu de ramya. So he says to him, maybe there's only one egg. In other words, maybe his question was about, maybe there's only one egg inside, and do I need to still do it if there's only one egg? So Amar Lei, Hayadelach Manitinhi, but that's a Mefarash Mishnah. Ain Sham Elef Roch Achad Ubeitzal Chayav L'Shaleach. So he basically keeps asking him, and Rav is like, this is obvious. So what happens is, here comes the strange part. Shalcha V'ahadar La Rava. Shalcha. So the guy sends it off. V'ahadar Le Rava Pirstike V'tafsa. Rava was standing nearby. What'd he do? He set up a trap. The bird got into Rava's trap, and Rava caught the bird. Okay? In other words, this guy came to Rava and said, am I chayav in shiluch hakein? And Rava said, yes. And then Rava caught the bird once the guy set the bird free. And he set up a trap so that, knowing that this guy was going to do the mitzvah of shiluch hakein, so that he would catch the bird. So the Gemara doesn't love this and says, v'lichot l'chashada, aren't we worried that people are going to be suspicious of him? So what are the answer? Kila achayad. No, he did it in such a way, it was like far off, and the trap was, it wasn't obvious that he was doing it. And the people were going to be suspicious that he gave his answer to the guy, yes, you're chayav l'shaleach, because he didn't want the guy to take the bird himself, he wanted it for himself.
It's like insider trading.
Right, exactly. So it's quite interesting. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Although the problem is that his question was so obvious, the answer is that it's hard
That's
to
why.
Suspect Rava of it. But
yeah.
It's just interesting that they, you know, that Rava.
That's why it's
just funny that Rava actually set up this trap knowing that this bird was going to be sent off.
It's like a way of his going to tell Rava, by the way, I'm about to do this without making
right.
it quite that obvious.
Maybe, right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Yonei Shavach v'yonei Aliyah. Chayavot b'shiluach v'asurot mishum gezel mipnei darkei shalom. Now we get into something really interesting also, which is birds that nest, right? You put up these bird these, what do you call them?
Dovecotes.
Right, dovecotes. Okay, and birds fly into them, and they generally come back, right? You don't really own them, okay? But you're chayv in shiluach, because it's not called ownership. However, it's enough of ownership that if someone steals your doves that are in the dovecote, they're chayv to return them to you, mishum darkei shalom. Darkei shalom, we've learned this before, it's ways of making peace between people so that people don't get angry at other people, right? And even though they're not really yours, they're yours enough that if somebody takes them, they're responsible to return them, okay? V'i ita lahada amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina chatzero shel adam konelo shelo midato. Now we have a problem, though. If we hold that something that's in your chatzer becomes yours even without your trying to make it yours, shelo midato, kare kan ki kare pralam zuman, then these birds that came into your chatzer and laid their eggs, the eggs in theory should belong to you, and therefore you should be patur from shiluach haken. So why are you chayav? So now we're going to have some possible answers. Amar Rav, Beitza imtzeat ruba hu diichayev b'shiluach. Machne lo kane ad tipo l'chatzero. Okay, v'chikatane chayavo b'shiluach mekame ditipo l'chatzero. What does he say? There's different shlavim. The beitza, as soon as most of it comes out of the mother, you're already chayav in shiluach haken. But it's not acquired by your chatzer until it comes fully into your chatzer, meaning it's fully out of the mother. So you're chayav already in shiluach haken before it actually becomes yours. So that's why it wouldn't be considered that it's in your property and then you'd be patur from shiluach haken. So they say, yihachi, but if that's the case, that they're still within the mother, amay asuro mishum gezel, then they shouldn't be chayav mishum gezel because they're not even in your chatzer yet, right? They're not even yours. So what are the answer? A'imam. No, it's the mother that we're talking about that people can't steal, not the eggs. The eggs, if someone stole, they don't have to return b'pnei darkei shalom. It's the mother. That's one answer. The one's talking about the mother, one's talking about the eggs, and it would be this eggs in this in-between stage. V'bayit ema lo olam ha-beitza. No, really, they're both talking about the beitza. U'beitza kevan denapik le'ruba da'ate ale. Even your chayv mishum darkei shalom, even on the beitza, why? Even though technically it's not really in your reshut, but once the egg comes mostly out of the mother, you already intend that, you see the dove laid an egg. You say, oh, great, I'm going to have eggs, even though they're not fully laid. You're already intending, and therefore, someone's going to have to return it b'pnei darkei shalom. V'hashad amar of Yehuda amar Rav, asur lezakop ha-beitzim sha'em rovetzet aleihem, sh'ne'amar shaleach ha-ta'em, v'hadar habanim tikach lach, afilu tema af agav denachpal ha-chatzero, kol hecha di'i umatze zachech chatzero nami zachya. So now, let me just explain that whole thing. Okay, so now, we're going to say, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that you can't take beitzim, that ha'em rovetzet alehem, right? So now, what are they going to say? So, we wanted to say a minute ago that while the mother's on the eggs, right, once the egg comes fully out of the mother, even though the mother's still on top of it, the chatzir should be kone, right, and it should be yours. But you don't have to say that because you can only be kone something that you can actually be kone. Kone something that your chatzir can only be kone as much as it's an extension of you. If you can't acquire these eggs because the mother's on top of them and there's an iser d'oraita to acquire them, then your chatzir can't acquire them either. Okay? And therefore, so then they say, okay, so that's why you're still chayiv in the midst of shiluach haken because you can't acquire those. Your chatzir can't acquire them either, even if they fully come in. So then they say, "Ihachi amai asur mipnei darkei shalom." If you can't acquire them, then how could they be asur mishum darkei shalom? Idishalcha, if you send off the mother bird, then gezel ma'al yehu. Then you really own the eggs, and it's really 1 second. If you send off the mother bird, then as soon as your chatzir actually is kone the eggs, and they become fully yours, and then it's gezel midoraita. And idelo shachat, you didn't send off the mother, then shiluche bai, then you have to do the mitzvah shiluach haken, and then if someone steals the birds, then they're asur mishum shiluach haken. In other words, either way, the guy is an isur d'oraita, so why are you saying it's asur mipnei darkei shalom? It should be asur, either because it's shiluach haken, or because it's really gezel. So what are the answer? Bikatan. It must be a katan is the one who stole the eggs. And that's why it's not asur d'oraita mishum shiluach, or it's not asur d'oraita mishum gezel. So then they say, because a katan is not chayav b'mitzvot. And they say, well, katan bar darkei shalom, or a katan would have to do with mishum darkei shalom. So they say, aha, chikamar. Aviv shal katan chayav lachzir lo mipnei darkei shalom. If a katan steals your eggs, then the father would have to return it because of darkei shalom. Okay, last thing for today. I just want to finish up to the Mishnah. Levi bar Simon akne perot shavachol Rav Yehuda. He was makne the birds of his shavach to Rav Yehuda. Ata lekameh d'shmuel. So Rav Yehuda came to Shmuel. Said, what am I supposed to do with these? So now Shmuel says, amale zil trof aken. Go move the cane a little bit. So what's going to happen? This is what everyone said before. Birds always move when you do anything, right? The birds will move. They'll litag bihu v'kaninu. They'll kind of fly up for a second and you'll acquire them through hagbaha. Now, this is a little weird. Usually hagbaha, you actually have to lift something. Here, by causing the birds to move, you'll have acquired them by hagbaha. Now, this is a little strange. Lamai, ilamikna, what do we normally do if we can't actually be kona something because it's too big or too difficult to lift up? We do a handkerchief, right? So likninu lebesudar, you should have just had him give you a handkerchief, right? You pick up the handkerchief, and with that, you acquire the birds. Ibi yom tov, maybe the issue was, birds, since they move all the time, okay, let's say you want to eat a bird on Yom Tov, well, it has to be ready for eating before Yom Tov. Now, if the bird can fly away, then it can't be ready for eating. But if you designate it before, and you say, I plan to eat this bird on Yom Tov, I plan to shecht it and eat it, then you're allowed to. So maybe the idea was he wanted him to move them so that it was showing his intent to use them for Yom Tov. Well, then, Ba'omed va'omer v'zeh ani notel saget. It's enough to just say, I'm going to shech these birds on Yom Tov, and that's enough. He doesn't have to actually move the whole nest so that the birds start flying above. So what do they say? Hanu pere chadite havu. These were new birds, like new chicks. They had just laid eggs. Delevi bar Simon gufe lo havakane lehu. He couldn't be kone them because they weren't even actually, you know, yatzula olam. V'hachi kamerlehem. This is what he said. Zil v'taref ha'ken de litagbinu v'nikninu. Move the cane so that what will happen? The birds will fly up, and then once the birds are separated from the egg, what did we see before? Kevan shiatsu rubot, right? And then only once yatsarov, you're chayv and shiloh ha'ken. But not until your chatzir is not kona them until the eggs are totally separate from the mother. So what happened? If the mother bird starts flying, then she'll no longer be connected to the eggs, and then you'll be kona the eggs. It was just to get the bird to start flying so that the eggs would then belong to him. So v'nekninu levi bar Simon v'hadu l'kninu nehalach besudar. In other words, first you had to get the mothers off the birds, and then they had to do a kinyan sudar to basically, you know, you had to have the mother separate first so that his chatzir would be kona. And then he would have to be kone them with a handkerchief, you know, with a, then, 1 second, I just want to one thing. Why would he need the kinyan sudar after that? 1 second, last thing for today, sorry. I see, that was the issue. Levi bar Simon was the one who sold it to the other guy. Levi bar Simon had to first acquire the eggs before he could even sell. They weren't actually his to be able to sell them to the other guy. So that's what he told him. He said, do it so the Levi bar Simon can be kona them, and then he can give it to you through a handkerchief. Okay, just to remind you, tomorrow we're going to start Bechorot, and then we'll come back on Friday, Erev Pesach, for the Siyum.